going to take place between 7 and 8.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron of Florida Estates Winery. Wine enthusiasts can call us at any time during the broadcast by dialing 646-727-3235. Once again, the number is 646-727-3235. Wine industry representatives are also encouraged to join us on air.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Mike Brown, the Wine Growers Association of Georgia.
The executive director.
Michelle Meyer. I work with my father, Les Meyer, at Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Westport Rivers Vineyard and Winery.
We're located at 417 Vicksburg Road, Westport, Mass., and our phone number is 508.
I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Grape Growers Association.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
Yeah.
Is it raining there?
Let me check. No. It's cloudy. It's not raining.
Oh, good.
Welcome to All About Wine, everybody. My name's Mike. We have Ron, as always, every week on Thursdays, and this is a live show at 7 p.m. Thursday, August the 4th, 2011. Yes, and almost at 2011. And at 2011... And this is part three. We are covering New York. Last week we did Long Island, and which was part two. And then the week before that we did that's when we talked to Cornell University. We talked to Chris Gerling over there. So this is part three in our New York series, because there is, as we're finding out as we go, which I think actually before the first show, part one, we already knew there was going to be a lot of wine to talk about in New York. So, but this is incredible, and we have guests joining us tonight. So, I just updated the show description to list them, and so we'll get with them in a minute. But as always, Ron is with us to give us a brief intro, synopsis, whatever you want to call it, and take it away, Ron. There you go.
Thank you. Just a few quick things here. Mike's going to be connecting us to our first guest here real soon here. So, but I just want to cover a few things. We moved into the Hudson River Valley region tonight. That's our next stop in New York. We did Long Island last week and up into the Hudson River Valley. Long Island, off the coast, down right around New York City. We just went through the city and drove up north now. That's where the Hudson River Valley is, just north of New York City. It runs straight up through the state, parallels the state lines on the that's on the east side of the state of Connecticut and Massachusetts, and runs right straight on up in that area there on in into northern part of the state. Hudson River. You have northern part of the Hudson River and southern part of the Hudson River. Basically, it's the central southern part that's the Hudson Valley AVA. There is a Hudson Valley AVA that is one of quite a few that's in New York City. The Hudson Valley AVA consists of 224,000 acres. They produce a big variety of grapes. I'm not going to go into all of them now. It is a viticulture area on the Hudson River in eastern New York. The region is the home of the oldest continuously operating winery in North America, the Brotherhood Winery. We will be talking to someone from there later. It is also one of the oldest continuously cultivated vineyards in North America. Ben Murray Winery is in this AVA. It is most of the vineyards in the region located within 2 miles or 3.2 kilometers of the river, the Hudson River. River flows north to south, and most of the vineyards are planted on the western side of the river, where the early morning sunshine helps warm up the grapevines, and the ocean breezes channeling up from New York area, New York City area, help moderate the climate and keep it cooler in the summer and warmer in the winter. So this is a little bit about the Hudson Valley AVA. Along the Hudson Valley, we have West Point, the National Military Academy, Army Military Academy. Also, The Catskills are just right off of the Hudson Valley, up a little bit more in the central part, and going over to the west of Hudson Valley, the Catskill Mountains and all the Catskill parks and everything. Albany, New York, capital of New York, is also part of the Hudson Valley. It is in the northern part of the Hudson Valley region. The Hudson Valley is also a tourist attraction, major tourist attraction for up in that area. Because of that, they have the Hudson Valley Wine Country Organization that covers that part, and it is full of history, full of wineries, and full of information up in that area. Just a quick synopsis on the history of the Hudson Valley area. It was first settled by the French Huguenots or French Christians back in 1677, where they planted some vineyards. They were impressed with the soils and the climate and everything for the region. Some of the grapes that were planted there, original grapes, are still being grown today. So that's really quite impressive. That's Ben Mari Vineyards I mentioned earlier. Those are from many, many years ago. A lot of the early vineyards were made for family consumption, but then in 1827, a Quaker by the name of Robert Underhill established a community at Croton Point, and he planted some grapevines he brought from Europe and with the intention of selling it to make wines. He also planted watermelons, apples, pears, chestnuts, all sorts of other stuff. Over the next two decades, he crossbred some of the European varieties with the some American varieties and got some vines that would grow in the climate there. William Cornell of Cornell University fame established a vineyard in Ulster County in 1845, and it has been worked off and on with generation of hybrid grapes and hybrid vines for years there. One of his products, the Duchess grape, is still being grown there today. So just a quick background on Hudson Valley and the region there and what they have to offer and a lot of stuff. So we are going to start our program tonight by talking to a person I have contacted back and forth for a few times over the last few days. And somewhere here we go. Her name is Sue Goldmiller from Brookview Station Winery. Sue is
she's on now.
Sue's there? Okay, good. Let me
Go ahead.
Oh, she's on the line too. I see her. Hello, Sue.
Oh, there you go.
Hi, how are you, Ron?
Doing quite well. Tell us about Brookview Station Winery.
Well, we are 5 years old. We became legal in 2006. We are a fruit winery. We are not a grape winery. But the Hudson Valley is the oldest region in the U.S. For grape wines, and the oldest winery is Brotherhood, which is down in Washingtonville in Orange County, which is about 2 hours south of Albany and about an hour north of New York City. We started as a fruit winery. We are a 100-year-old apple farm. I'm the third generation, and we make cider commercially. We make about 70,000 gallons a year and sell it directly to customers that come in, but we also have a direct delivery to a distribution center for Hannaford Brothers grocery stores. And so we had cider, and we knew we could make a really nice fine white wine out of it, and we did. And in 2007, when we were 6 months old, we won the best of the Hudson Valley region.
Fantastic.
And the grape growers were pretty upset. They're pretty shocked. People who have tasted our apple wine are pretty much blown away. The hangover is from the Boone's Farm label of sweet and syrupy, and that's not at all what we make. We make a wine that I had five Finger Lakes grape growers taste the wine blindly and could not discern it was made out of apple. They were sure it was Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, but no one came up that it was made out of apples. So we got very lucky when we were just very young and had first started out. Since then, we have increased our production. We make about 3,500 cases. We also make a pear wine. We make an apple pear, and we make up to four dessert wines. We make a peach, a strawberry, a cherry. We're also about to release our first cherry port in about another 3 weeks, and we also make cassis from black currants.
Oh.
And we've meddled with a lot of the wines, but the black currant, the cassis, we won silver in the Finger Lakes International back in March. So we've been really fortunate, and I'm really glad that you're doing a show on the Hudson Valley Wine Country, because there's a huge initiative here in the valley to get the word out that there are 40 wineries here in the Hudson Valley region.
40?
And,
wow.
Yeah. And as you said, it is one of the most diverse, historically, it's one of the richest places for people to come for historical tourism. We have just a wealth from the U.S. Military Academy, which there is a really nice winery like 4 miles from the U.S. Military Academy, which is Pelea. Who's making, you know, a number of really nice wines. And there are a lot of, there's the Schwanegunk Wine Trail, there's the Dutchess Wine Trail, and I'm on a beverage trail. Another winery and myself founded the Hudson Berkshire Beverage Trail, and it combines not only wine, but it also combines, we have a farm distillery who's making vodka from cider, and he's making applejack, and then we have a microbrewery, and we have another winery besides ourselves. So we have a lot of things going on here, and we do have a lot of grape growing going on. We're about to harvest our first crop of Frontenac this fall.
Oh,
and,
very good.
We also have Foch, Marshall Foch, which are Minnesota-developed hybrids for cold climate so that they can tolerate, I believe Foch is like minus 20 below and Frosch is minus 26.
Wow.
Our winters have not been that drastic in a number of years, but we do have some sub-zero temperatures.
Speaking of weather, let's expand on that a little bit more too. Highs and lows throughout the year. What the winters look like? What the summers look like? Give us a little synopsis of your weather there.
Well, winter is. You know, we have January, February are the toughest months, and the biggest problem we're all having in agriculture throughout the world is the highs and the lows. Is the severity of things. Is the big swings. We had about 5 days of 99, 98 weather, which is very unusual. We're not much usually over 90, 95 here. And I would say it's normally 80, 85 in July and August. This past winter was quite harsh. We ranged from anywhere from the mid-40s down to the mid-20s for a daytime high, and we go down as low as sub-zero. I mean, I think we had minus 10 and minus 15 this year a few nights, but pretty much this is zone 4 agriculturally where we are, and it is, you know, every place in the valley is a little different. The valley was considered the breadbasket of the United States at one point, and there's been a tremendous amount of fruit growing, apples, especially in Ulster County, which is south of us, about an hour and a half, the Kingston area, and New Paltz. But basically, we have typically, you know, 80 degrees in the summer, 60-degree nights, and then the winter is a lot harsher. You know, we're not much above 32 from about January into, say, the first part of March.
Brr.
It's cold.
Yeah. You're talking to a station that we're down here in Florida, so we're originating from Florida. So when you start talking to those temperatures, those are cold.
Well, it's cold, but I have to tell you, it really is. You know, I have family who lives in Louisiana, and I listen to, you know, all summer long with, you know, I don't want to go outside, it's too hot, I don't want to do things, it's too hot. And I think that there's trade-offs for everything. Certainly if you don't like fighting the ice and the snow, it does get a little daunting at times. We can't pick up the apple trees and move them, so we're going to be here for a while.
That's true. Now, speaking of apple trees, you have your own orchards for your strawberry, for your apple and your pear and your peach and your own areas for your strawberries and cherries, or do you ship it in from another area, or how do you get?
Well, we are fortunate because we live so close to. I mean, we live within 100 miles. I mean, most the peaches. We don't grow peaches here in the county that we live in, which is Rensselaer County, because of the fact that we're just on the edge of not having it to be able to be, you know, moderate enough during the winter. We actually get our peaches from Columbia County, which is about 25 miles south of us, and the orchard we get it from is very closely, you know, to the river. It's right near the Hudson River itself. I actually live myself. The farm that we're on is 3 miles from the Hudson River, and I have a view of the Castile Mountains that's breathtaking from here. But
Wow. Most
of our fruit, our apples all come from here, but our strawberries, our peaches, and cherries all come from down in the Columbia County, Hudson, New York area.
Uh-huh. Where are you located exactly? I mean, how you told us the distance for the oldest winery for Brotherhood, but where are you exactly?
Well, we are in, we are 9 miles, we are on the east side of the Hudson River. Albany is on, New York is on the west side of the Hudson River. We are 9 miles from downtown Albany, from the Capitol. We are off of I-90, which is, there's a freebie section of I-90 that runs from the Massachusetts Turnpike along the east side of the river, and we are off exit 11E. We have a map on, we have two websites. We have our main website, which is www.gould.com, which has a lot of information about the farm, where we are, what we do. There's a map. It has directions from north, south, east, and west. We are 3 hours from, we're 3 hours from Long Island and New York.
Wow.
We're at the point that we are, you know, we're further away than, there's a lot of wineries. There's a big cluster of wineries down in, along the Ulster County, Orange County region that are more established, and there's a more established wine trail there. And I started to say that we are in the middle of the Hudson Valley Wine Country, is in the middle of doing a branding initiative, and there is a Hudson Valley Wine Country webpage that is up. It's really not very current, but we will be working on getting that to be more current. There's a new executive board and that's been meeting since the early spring and working on doing more branding. We have one of our fellow wineries has been doing wine tastings. He happens to be a wine blogger himself, Carlo DeVito, from the Hudson Chatham Winery, and he's doing a lot of tastings with Edible Manhattan and I can't remember the fellow's name, it's the New York Times, I apologize, who they just did a tasting with this past week. We're working on pushing cassises, and we're going to be having a cassis off in November to showcase our cassis. So there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of wineries to go to and visit. We also will hook anybody up tourist-wise who's coming to visit with lodging, restaurants, attractions, you know, all places to go and see. There's lots of fun stuff to do.
Why two different names? Why gold.com and then the winery, different names? Why? What happened?
Well, the winery is a woman-owned business. I own the winery, and until June of this year, I did not own Gould Orchards by myself. It was myself and my brother who were in the middle of, my brother was retiring and leaving the business, and we were in the middle of splitting things. And also, as a woman-owned business, there's a lot more benefits out there. There's a lot better ways to... Well, there are.
I know there is. That's why I was chuckling. There is definitely being, you know, any type of minority.
We got a $15,000 grant to startup money for the winery. And the reason we did is because we made it a woman-owned business. So that's why we went. And the other thing is the reason we chose Brookview Station Winery is really, it's also a somewhat sentimental. My grandparents came to the Brookview Station in 1910, and it was a train station. It's a little tiny train station. It's a mile from our farm, and Brookview's a little hamlet where the train will come. And they chose to come by train from Albany because my great-great-grandfather was the assistant superintendent on the New York Central Railroad.
Uh-huh.
And they could ride the train for free. So That was a benefit to be able to get back and forth to Albany, to be located here. So I chose the Brookview Station Winery. We live on Brookview Station Road, and I chose the Brookview Station Winery because that's how my grandparents got their start in business, and I felt that that was how I got my start independently, was with the Brookview Station Winery.
It makes plenty of sense now that you explained it. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have a lot of train-themed stuff. Our first wine was Whistle Stop White. We have a red blend that we actually have created for ourselves that we get in wholesale wine. We make our own blend, and it's called All Board Red. The Cassis has got a really cool picture of two conductors, which is it's a very vintage picture that we have, and we call it the Conductor's Cassis. And now we're working on the Porter's Cherry Port, which is the next release. So we try to stick with the wine theme names for the train theme names to make it interesting. We also have a rosé that's named after my yellow Labrador Retriever, Charlie. It's called Sunset Charlie. So We try to personalize things and stay with things that are interesting and are good stories to tell the customers and that they can relate to.
A few points here. Number one, everyone, if you pop up the website at www.gold.com, you will get a picture of Sue. She's standing there toasting Ed, the winemaker, and Karen, the director of marketing. There's also, you flip through it, and you'll get to see the dog, the yellow golden retriever, beautiful dog, by the way. Also, there's events lists and pictures of all the wines and everything else. So check out the website. Also, Sue, your cherry port. I make a strawberry port. I would love to do an exchange with you when you get yours made and send you one of mine and trade for one of yours.
Sounds like a really good idea. I also think that you would probably really get a real kick out of our cassis. It's been just hugely accepted, and some people say, "What's a cassis?" They don't have any idea. They've never had it before. I never knew what cassis was until we started to make it, and I have to tell you, it is absolutely out of this world.
Tell people what the cassis is.
It's made from black currants, and currants could not be grown in the United States a number of years ago because they carried a disease that affected pine trees. So growers worked together, plant breeders worked together to develop a bush that would not affect pine trees. So they did that. And they're little black, they remind you of elderberries. And I don't think elderberries grow in Florida, but people in the Northeast are going to, and also probably in the mid-Atlantic states, there are bushes that grow alongside the road, and they have little blackberries on them. The currants are like that, except they're a low-growing shrub, and they're tart. The berry is very tart, and it looks black, And when you pick them and you crush them, well, what we do first with them is you have to do a punch down. You literally have to punch them down every day when you start when you start them to ferment. You have to punch them down every day and add sugar. It's a very sweet wine, and it's you fortify it with extra alcohol so that your yeast doesn't start to ferment anymore. But it's something you wouldn't drink a tremendous amount of. It's like Chambord, if anybody's had Chambord, which is a raspberry liqueur. It's like that, except like it's 100x. It's like 100 times better than that. So the currants have a very pungent taste, but they're lovely once they're fermented and they've had, you know, they had so much sugar in them.
It sounds fantastic.
You only want to drink a little bit because it's 18% alcohol.
Ah, yeah. Well, the port, same way. So,
have to do a port. Exchange. The other thing I want to mention is that we also have an Apple Festival Columbus Day weekend here, and if anybody's up here in the Northeast, they would definitely want to come and visit us. We have a wine tent with 8 wineries here doing wine tasting those 2 days.
Sounds great. Give us all the information for Brookview Station Winery, so if people are there or want to contact you, they may do so, including, you know, Facebooks and emails and everything else.
Okay, and I will send you that information for the blog, and it's they can either go to the Google webpage or they can go to Brookview Station Winery, oneword.com, and they can get any information they want there, or they can contact me through the webpages.
All right, thank you very much. We appreciate your information. You were more than pleasant on this evening. I didn't have to talk a whole bunch. You just did it, and that was great. I love that. So anyone wants to get in touch with you, they can always call you at 1-888-2-UNCORK. That's TOUNCORK. Or visit the website, www.gooldgold.com. So, thank you very much, Sue. Appreciate it. And you and I will be talking because I really am serious about exchanging our ports when yours is available.
I think that'll be swell. I'd love to do that, Ron.
All right. Thank you very much for being on with us tonight.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
And bye now. All right. Sue, very interesting. Now we have, and we had,
not,
looks like.
Yeah, we had. We're having cell phone issues right now.
Oh, okay.
I was talking to him on his cell phone, and let me get him back and see if he can call.
All right,
call,
go ahead. I'll talk a little bit about some other stuff here. I've got plenty to talk about.
Okay, I'll be right back.
All right. Hudson River Valley. Hudson River Valley is, I said I was going to talk about stuff, but I can't find. Okay, here we go. Hudson River Valley, it stretches quite a bit through the eastern part of the state of New York. I mean, the AVA, the American Viticulture Area, doesn't cover the entire valley. It covers most of it, but not the entire valley. Looks like we might have our guest back with us here. We are trying, yeah, and I think he's on the line. Looks like he's on hold for us. Who we have here is Caesar, and seriously, I'm going to destroy your last name. Beza, I believe it's pronounced. Caesar Beza is the winemaster from Brotherhood Winery. Brotherhood Winery is the oldest continuously operating winery in the United States. It was established way back in, I'll tell you what. Instead of me telling about Brotherhood Winery, let's get Caesar on the line here. And we'll let him talk about it.
Yes, he should be on now.
Hello, Caesar. You with us?
Yes. Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for joining us. I heard we had a little issue, but I'm glad you're on the air with us here.
Yes, thank you for having me there.
Brotherhood Winery. Tell us the history of Brotherhood Winery.
Well, Brotherhood is America's oldest winery. Continuous operating since 1839.
Wow.
We have been making wines before California was part of the United States. So it's And we went through prohibition making wine for the church, for the altar wines. So we remain as a winery in here in the Hudson Valley since then.
The Hudson Valley is located. The winery is located where in the Hudson Valley? What section?
In
whatever.
Washingtonville, New York, near West Point, but the military academy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very historical place. A lot of things happen around here, and the birth of the nation basically has been here, and the name Washingtonville was named after because Washington remained here doing with his troops during the revolution, and when West Point was in formation. So it's a long history with the winery, and we've been making wines all nonstop.
For 150, 180 years now.
Huh?
For over 180 years. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So, what wines are you making? Tell us what all do you make now?
Well, we make all the old traditional products, which they are the holiday spice wine that I've been making for many years. As a traditional product, it's an old recipe that was brought here by the people settled in this part of the country. A recipe that came from the Norwegian, the Scandinavian countries. So like a glue wine.
Wow.
And then, those are the products that have been here for many years. And then now we are more concentrated in the traditional varietal wines, like Pinot Noir. We make a very, very good Pinot Noir, and we grow here in New York, in the Hudson. Very Burgundian style, with light garnet color, and a very complex taste, very layers of flavors. And that's our premium wines, and we are very proud of that because I think New York has the potential of producing very good Pinot Noir, cold climate, and the traditional Burgundian style. And then we have the Riesling, which has been known in New York to produce high quality wines, and so those are the wine that our best seller. We make a very good Pinot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Merlot, both grapes from grown in Long Island.
Wow.
So we have a full range of products. We have over 20 different type of wines here.
Wow.
And we are, people like to taste the diversity of product that we have when they come to the winery. We have about over 100,000 visitors that came to buy the wine and taste it. takes the tour through our largest underground cellars in the country.
Wow.
Which is very extensive, full with barrels and bottles. We do very good sparkling wines, champagne, made with the Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and that's also one of our star products as well.
I have to tell you, the winery I have up here or down here in Florida, people come in all the time and they're constantly asking me, "Have you ever heard of Brotherhood Winery?" It's just like everybody who's ever been in New York has visited Brotherhood Winery. It's like a requirement.
Well, it's a historical landmark. It's like if you go to Rome, you have to see the Vatican.
Yeah,
you have to see the oldest winery in America. If you're a wine lover, you want to see where the oldest winery in America is. Huh?
That's true. That's very true.
So we pretty much started, you know, we were the first company winery that started the tour, the tourism, you know, as a tourist attraction. Right after Prohibition, the winery started with a very, very good tourism business. When nobody, you know, nobody even thought about the wineries as a tourist attractions.
Right, yeah.
And today, you know, it's a big business for everybody in Napa and California. It's one of the biggest attractions, it's the tour. So it's something that we are very proud of being the first one to start with that business.
So Brotherhood was the beginning of the wine tour, the wine winery tour, and have them come in and do that stuff. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's a lot of things. That have you ever been here? Have you been in New York?
I've been in New York. Yes, I've never been to Brotherhood Winery.
Yeah, well, it's something worth seeing, and really, it's just to walking through the buildings and the land. You see the historical building, the standing up, and very, very impressive. You know, the stones building and the underground cellars are really. Hard to believe that here you can see New York, that type of cellars that they were building before electricity was invented. Yeah? And you can imagine how they put that together. It's something that you see maybe in Europe, but it's hard to find in America, this type of facilities. So we are also making very, very good wines here with the grapes that are grown in Long Island, in the Hudson Valley where we are, and in the Finger Lakes as well.
So you get the grapes from all three areas then?
From those three areas, yes.
Okay.
Depends on the wine is where we get the grapes. And in many cases, we combine the characteristic grape from Long Island and with Hudson Valley. Some the blend of the two, sometimes one compensates the other for the qualities and requirements of acidity. So it makes a very, very good combination when you have the three.
You use a combination of stainless steel and oak then for everything?
Yes.
You're using French oak or American?
Mostly French oak. We like the French oak because it's a little softer with our wine that have higher acidity, so that it blend better with softer type of oak and make give a nice way to balance the wine. And our wines have a nice character. They are not overpowering, very delicate. And I wish you could taste it. So
I wish I could too. Believe me, I really do wish I could too. What method of champagne you make your champagne? The traditional French?
We make a traditional method champenoise.
Okay.
We ferment it. We use Pinot Noir. And Chardonnay, we ferment it. We pick the grapes earlier. We go through our cellar. We do a malolactic fermentation to soften those acid, and then we do the tirage, the cuvée, where we add the sugar and the yeast. We ferment in the bottle. In our cellars, and then we disgorge after 2 years. We start disgorging. We do what you call a RD method, which is the recent disgorge, we disgorge as we need it. We do the traditional methods by putting in Ritalin racks, removing the sediment by freezing the neck.
Wow.
And then disgorging that, removing the yeast and putting our the formula, the secret formula. And we put it on right before, and we put the cork before we put the cork and the wire hut. So that's all that's been done by the old traditional way, and it's time-consuming, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that is a very time-consuming. I'm looking at your page here of your sparkling wines, and the prices are really reasonable. I mean, for the amount of work you're putting into those things, these are just really phenomenal prices.
Very, very well. We like to be competitive, and I think that's something that we like to, you know, we don't. Most of our wines are very reasonable price, and for the work and the effort that we put into it. But we feel that you know, it's worth it for people to try our wines, and hopefully they can go and buy it in the stores as well. So we like to expand in our, we have been expanding our distribution. So more and more we get our wines in different places. Hopefully we get more distribution in Florida, one of the states that I think is, there's so many people from New York that move there.
I tell you, yes. We speak New York down here very well.
Yeah. So I think that you know, it's a market that we really feel that we could be doing more business. Hopefully we can get better distribution. It's very difficult in Florida to go through the chain store.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes it's very, very difficult to get into a place there, and that makes it tough. But we keep trying, and we had some distribution there, a small distributor that is trying hard to get the product put into the market.
I hope it happens soon. Your Sapphire Rosé champagne, what grape are you using on that?
It's Chardonnay and Pinot Noir.
Oh, okay.
So is that those are the two grapes. And that is done a little bit more in a different method. It's not a method Champenoise, but it's a transfer, what we call the transfer method. And the transfer method is a little, it's a very variation. We ferment in the bottle, remove the product out of the bottle with the needle, and go into a tank, and then filter, and it's put in the new bottle. So it's a little bit faster method. That's not as, so the wine, the resulting wine, is not as yeasty, more fruitier, and it's a very nice product, very good. And so it's easy drinking, very pretty color, pink, nice,
yeah.
Nice color, and it's not as dry. So it's very, very. We had just introduced that product; they're very successful. We sell very well in our store, and the place where we sell it, because it's a very attractive wines. Have to be attractive to the eyes, to the nose, to all the senses. So that's kind of a fit. That's a really pretty nice pink color, and it's very, very, very nice wine.
I was looking also too. You have the was it Casas Patronales?
Yes, we are. I'm from originally from Chile, so we have also a winery in Chile. So I make the wines there and here. I travel in this time, for example, in September. I go into Chile, and then I come and just work, go there back and forth. So
what part of Chile? What area?
Well, this is in Maule Valley.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
In the southern Chile, it's
right.
Going toward the Andes Mountain.
Uh-huh.
So, south of Santiago, toward the Andes Mountain. So at the foot of the mountain, which is ideal to grow the grapes, cool night and warm days, which makes it a very ideal condition to develop the flavors. So we had some very, very good wine from there as well. So it's a good combination. So I can give me the chance to be there when it's winter here and summer come here. So,
ah.
So I work in both places.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I noticed the Carmenere. I carried a Carmenere from Chile at the winery for a while.
Yeah.
I love the Carmenere. I mean, it's a phenomenal grape and a great wine.
Very, very good. It's Carmenere is a lost grape from France.
Yes.
And
yes.
They found it in Chile to discover that it was a grape that came original from Bordeaux. And in Chile, they thought it was a Merlot. So
right.
For a long time, they were selling as a Chilean Merlot until somebody discovered that it's a different variety. It's a lost grape from France. So it became the grapes that that's become almost like a Chilean signature wine.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
And it's a very, very nice. It's ripened very nicely. Good fruit. Aged is soft tannins. So it's a very, very easy drinking wine.
Yeah,
so,
it is. The Carmenere.
And Casa Patronales is becoming the leader, and that's one of the best Carmenere because they plant the grapes, a certified plant, so you know that it's 100% Carmenere instead
uh-huh.
of maybe a lot of the vineyards in Chile because they can plant it in their own roots. They don't need grafting there.
Right, because they're not affected by phylloxera. Yeah.
Phylloxera, exactly. So, but that's happened that many times Chilean don't put the right clone in. Whatever they find on hand, they plant it there. In our vineyard in Casa Patronales, we have a certified, and you know that what is in that vineyard is 100% certified Carmenere grapes. So you know you get the full flavor of the true flavor of the grapes.
The Carmenere.
So this is very, very good wine. It's that we are been very, very well accepted here with that wine. The other one is Sauvignon Blanc. Is very well there, and for the price, I think it's get a very reasonable price for the quality that you get.
Yeah, it's a very good price. I just saw this there. It is a phenomenal price. Speaking, and the reason I'm asking you these, you are the wine master. I don't know if I told people or the listeners that you are the wine master there at Brotherhood Winery. So that's why I'm talking to you so much about the wines. I noticed you do a mead and a May wine and, you know, different, what do you call it, a Genghis Khan?
We do a lot of things. You know, being the oldest winer in America, you inherited a lot of things that they have been doing, you know, for years. And it's hard to, you know, to change that because you have customers that's been very loyal to those things.
Right.
And, for example, the Carol Mead has become a very well accepted by, you know, for example, the Renaissance Festival here in Tuxedo, New York, is a very famous Renaissance festival. Mm. They use that wine for that.
Oh.
And become the official wine for the Renaissance festival. So we get, every year, we get a big sale on that. And there are people that go there, they taste it, they love it. It's a nice, nice balance. It's almost tasting like a dessert Riesling, late harvest Riesling wine.
Wow, yeah.
And so it's a very, very nice nice balance. And so people taste it, they like it there, and then all of a sudden they start looking for the wine. So
So you can't really eliminate it. It's there.
No, you can't limit because you have customer for everything. Everybody likes, you know, the ginseng wines also became very popular with people that come from Chinatown, for example. They come by bus looking for, directly they come in to look for that wine. And that they know they're familiar, they're comfortable. So we have a product for everybody. Everybody's comfortable with some type of wine. And, you know, being a large tourist attraction, you know, we have to have things that are unique and different.
You do the Rosario. I'm just reading this. This is your classic altar wine, the one that's been around with us.
Exactly. We do sell a lot of that. That kept us through Prohibition. How can you get rid of that? Huh?
That's true. That's
so,
true.
So we continue making it, and we still have customers. It's made with the traditional Concord Niagara grape. It's a very sweet, not very sweet, but it's nice, pleasant, and great, make a very good base for sangria. So people love to, in the summertime, quaffing with ice. So it's good to have a variety of wine. I think that makes people comfortable when they come here. So we have the different tasting for the premium wine tasting, where people like that type of wine. And then you have the other tasting for people who like a little bit more or less the more fun wines. So you have to accommodate everybody.
That's what makes the
winery so interested. Yeah?
It is at that. I'll tell you. Some of these wines here. It for the listeners out there, you really have to tune into the Brotherhood Winery website and check out some of these wines. I mean, it's amazing all the different ones that they have available and all the different ones that they describe here. It's really fascinating. I do want to ask you about the ice wine though. What grapes are you using in that?
We use Riesling, and
Riesling,
you know, ice wine is very rare to do. When we have a vineyard right here in the Hudson, we have the Riesling, and when we have the condition, which is not too often, to be able to leave the grapes on the vine until the grape, the first frost come in last year in December, and we had we were able to right after Christmas, we were able to leave the vine, you know, protected by a net, so the birds don't come in and eat it.
Uh-huh.
Wait until first frost, then we press the grape when it's frozen, and instead of getting 170 gallons per 1 ton of grapes, we get 45 gallons per 1 ton of grapes.
Wow.
And it's very concentrated. The sugar, the acid, the flavors become, it's like the nectar of the gods.
Yes, it is.
Very fully concentrated, very rich. And it's really it's an experience that when you put it in your mouth, explode, and it's really nice and unforgettable. I'm one of those experiences that you don't have to very often. And so I have my mother-in-law. She's 90 years old. I took a bottle one day, and here she brought it in, and she poured it into the glass, a full glass of wine. I said. And all of a sudden, she drank the whole thing. And I say, Mom, do you realize how much that wine is? It's very expensive. As she says, it's worth it every drop.
So, that's a good story. That's good.
It was not my point. It's not to drink it like water, you know. It's supposed to sip it.
But it's worth every penny.
Every drop. That kind of tell you the type of the wine.
The port and the sherry, what grapes are you using in those?
Where? The port?
The port and the sherry.
The port, we use a combination of wine. Some of the Chancellor. Our port is a continuous aging, what you call a Solera system. It's a continuous blending. We take out of the barrel, we bottle, and then we put some new ones. So that Solera is over 100 year old. Now we're replacing it. They used to have more of the Native American before, and now we're going more for the vinifera grapes. We use more Cabernet, so we're replacing with Cabernet Sauvignon on the new port. But it still has some of the old wine from before. So it's a very interesting port, very good combination, and it's also it's a excellent product. We've been famous for that. The port are one of the products that had been a traditional wine for Brotherhood for hundreds. So we still have port, vintage port from 1870.
Wow.
In our cellar.
Wow.
And it's those are just the value of the bottle that were made, you know, the way they would make the bottle then is very, very interesting. So we have in our cellar, when it comes to the tour, you see those ports in our, we still have the collection of those. One of the oldest wines that you can find in America. It's already, that's one of the wine. So port is really had been a traditional product for Brotherhood, and we've been famous for our vintage port for many years. So it's something that we keep that, so try to keep that tradition here by making, every year we make some, continue making that port.
And the cream sherry is made...
Cream sherry is made also the first, traditional Spanish method. I went to school, I studied in Spain.
Oh.
And this had been one of the product that I think we are specialized in making the port the way that the similar to the style of the Harvest Bristol cream.
Oh.
And the same method, the same procedures. That also is delicious. It's, you know, people that like sherry, they loved our sherry because we are very much a traditional maker of sherry. A lot of people, you know, not too many people are making sherry anymore. It's not fashionable.
You're right.
But we still have loyal customers, and we continue making it the same way. So
The grapes that are used in the sherry, what are your primary?
This is a combination. Also, we use some of the hybrid, and a lot of we use in some of the grape Niagara.
Uh-huh.
Which is very aromatic and gives it a nice flavor as age. But again, it's when you go through the aging process, the flavor of the grapes is not as critical as it is the aging process. As
right.
The age, it develops some very specific character of a nutty character, which is very typical of the sherry and the age and the flavor of the oak as it ages. So the flavor of the varietal is not as critical, and it is the character, the acidity, and the structure that those grapes give them. And those happen to be those grapes in the native grape from Niagara. Are very good blending with the sweetness of the product. It's kind of balance the acidity with the flavor very well. But it's a character that developed with the aging and the nuttiness that you get in the sherry. But I think it's another product that is well, although it's not as popular now, still we feel that we have a great product, and we still have some following, and we keep it, you know, because tradition.
Yeah, I understand that. I really do. I have 9 or 8 wines myself, and every time I think about making another one, I say, well, I really should drop one, but if I do, there's too many people out there that like it. So
yeah, no, you can.
You can.
You know, I had one when I moved. I came to, you know, I don't know, my background, I work for a big company, Messian Rewines, which is, you know, we were the importer of Pepsi, but it was, we brought Stolichnaya vodka, and we have many of the, it was a big, it's a very, at one time was a very important company. So I used to run, when I came to took over the Brotherhood Winery, and I made a comment that say, well, I'm like to concentrate in making the traditional premium wines, and you couldn't believe the amount of letters that I received. Thank you. You are who you think you are. You're gonna change.
Wow.
You're gonna take our tradition, and you know you might have bought the winery, own the winery, but it's an American tradition that you're not gonna come and destroy that. So
they put you in your place.
They put me in a place, and I think with good reason. You know, you
yeah.
just, once you find out all this this tradition and all this treasure that you have, how can you get rid of it, huh? So
yeah,
you become, you adopt it and then become your children after a while, huh?
That's true. That's very true.
So
yeah.
you do your new things and keep the old one. And so that's why we have so many products, and that's why we have so many loyal customers that, you know, they know us. I mean, if I say, you know, we say I'm not going to continue with a holiday spice wine, you know, that's just the only recipe that's remained, and nobody else can make it. We have a grandfather protection because you use the only winery that can use the natural herb and spices, and to get the formula approval. And you cannot get the formula approval unless you have a flavor company to develop a number, you know, to get the flavor a formula proof. So they have to use with different flavors added.
Oh, wow.
We don't have any flavor. We use it with actually herbs and spices. So it's something that you, and once we stop producing, you cannot do it again. You lose that privilege. So it's a very unique formula product. And have you ever had a chance to taste that?
No, I'm afraid I haven't. I really need to make a trip up there and visit the winery.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
well,
I just...
Your audience, your people that knows us, they were thinking, yes, I know, and they miss it. You know, no matter where they go, they say, oh, my God, that I have to get that. It's one of those products that they think that, you know, they cannot be without, and if they move out, they think they're going to get it some wherever they move. And they say, you know, I can't get that product, but the only place I can get it is from Brotherhood. And that, you know, so it's really one of those products that has, it's like a cult. People follow that, and they use it for, you know, for cooking. They have the recipes, and everybody developed their own way of using that in different ways, how to serve it. And it's a very, very nostalgic product. So I'm pretty sure you're going to hear some of your audience that have heard about the holiday spice wine from Brotherhood.
You know, at the winery, we make what we call a sangria, which is just a mulled spice type wine. And we call it a sangria. And a lot of people come in and say, this reminds me of something like the Brotherhood. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, they, but it's compared a lot to it. They said, not quite. It's different, but it's you know,
it's close. Ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so
reminds and reminiscent of that. Because probably you use some of the ingredient that I use in this, like lemon peel, orange, you know.
Yeah, cinnamon. Yeah,
cinnamon.
Yeah.
Yes, those are the one of the. This has 16 different herbs and
16?
Spices.
16.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's a very very complex formula that is very unique, and again I admire the people that developed that in the time for many years when when they came here and they brought the formula from Europe and they apply, you know, they did it with the wine that they have available and turned out to be a very unique product that has been the most popular item that this winery had for many, many years before I came in. So I can't take credit. I just had to maintain that.
You're right. How long have you been the wine master there at Brotherhood?
I've been here about 24 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a long time. And in the last 6 years, actually, my new partners from Chile, we had taken the winery to a different level. We had been able to do a lot of things that I was limited before. But now we are doing some very exciting things, and it has been a good ride. And by including also the wine from Chile as part of our portfolio, give us a lot more. The better platform to talk about our wines as well.
Well, it's a good exchange program there, you know, having the wines from Chile, and then I'm sure that they carry, you know, some of the ones down there in Chile from the Brotherhood. So that's it's a great exchange.
It's a very good combination, and I think it's good to work with people that understand wine, and they know what it needs to be done to make quality products. So they have allowed me to have the right tools to make quality wines.
Right.
So.
Mike, anything you'd like to ask Caesar?
I've been looking at the website. So.
Me too. It is a very complex website, without a doubt.
Well, the other thing we have here is... it's a great, we have a great restaurant, unique French cuisine, which is fantastic, very, very good, you know, we have escargot, we got foie gras, and a lot of different things that are very exquisite cuisine.
Huh.
And it goes very well with it. So that's another new addition that we have. The people who come here now, they can have a tremendous experience in tasting the wines with the food that they have. So it's we also opened a catering hall that's been opened in September with for weddings. So that kind of makes it, it's a nice destination place for people to come. So if you haven't been here in the last few years, you're going to be very surprised to see the changes and the improvement that we have in the cellars. So we are inviting people to come, and I think they will have, we have a lot of event, entertainment. So it's really been a full, improvement of the place. And we are very, very happy to have people to enjoy the day here.
It seems like a great place. Well, so people who want to visit you, would you like to give the website and the phone number and location and everything where they can contact you or see you?
Our website is www.brotherhoodwinery.net, and we are in. Our phone number is 845-496-3661, and we are is like I say 1 hour north of Manhattan, so very close to the city. So it's a nice day, and it's a lot of nice attractions around here. So you can spend time going shopping. If people like to go to Woodbury Common, it's a very good outlet center, and you have West Point, you have a beautiful sculpture field at Storm King. They are like 600 acres of this big sculpture. It's a fantastic place. And so it's right here by the winery. So when you come to New York, take a ride to the Hudson, 1 hour north, and you are up for a nice experience. You feel like you are in somewhere in any country in Europe, and only 1 hour from north of New York City.
Wow,
so it's a very very nice where. We have a lot of things going on here all the time.
It sounds fantastic. And for all of you out there who are listening who have never been to Brotherhood, by all means, everyone I've ever talked to said it is quite an experience, something you really have to take in. So, Caesar, thank you. How do you pronounce your last name?
Baeza. Like John Baez with an A.
Said it wrong.
Maybe I'm dating myself saying John Baez.
Baez.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Caesar. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule and talking with us tonight. And best of luck to you. And I'll tell you what, I will definitely put Brotherhood the Winery on my list of things to do.
Very good. Looking forward to seeing you here. Hopefully, let me know, and if I'm not somewhere in the vineyards or in Chile, I'd be looking forward to seeing you here.
That sounds great. I would really love to do that, too. Thank you very much again, Al.
Thank you, and good program. I wish you the best.
And thank you very much, and have yourself a good evening now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well,
that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah. The oldest, America's oldest winery, 1839. And I was looking at some of the, you know, the pictures. Yeah, yes.
Continuous operations since 1839. That is. Even being able to make it through Prohibition and everything. That's just.
Yeah.
And all the wines they have. I was just. Never knew.
20 different wines and just what they do. It's amazing.
I'm impressed. Some great ones. And the ones from Chile. All right, Caesar. Carmenere. I love Carmenere. You know, it's fantastic. They have the Carmenere. So
wonderful.
Definitely going to have a trip there.
Yeah. Well, I think we just load up the pickup truck and just head out there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we'll have to get our bus. Yeah.
Bus might be too expensive. We can fit a lot in the back of the truck. We just put the computers and everything.
Yeah. The amount of gas we spend on the bus than use the wine.
Yes. We could buy all of our listeners computers for the price of an RV. Plus,
for the price of the bus. You're right.
Bring back samples and, or we could afford to take all the listeners with us for the price of an RV.
Yeah, that's very true, too.
Well, at least we're still in our 60-minute time frame of 8:14, and we're still live. That's amazing.
We're still live. Good idea expanding that tonight.
I kind of thought it was going to, maybe we could do this, just make it a anyway, that way. And I know one of the shows we probably could have done that was we had four guests on. When was that? We were doing New Mexico.
Yeah.
We had four guests on, and that was a squeeze. But so I kind of figured, well, some shows we may want to do 90 minutes. So we're still live, by the way, if anybody wants to call us in the next 10, 20 seconds. 646-727-3235. And, But I like the photo. There's a photo on Brotherhood Winery's, I think it must be the cellar.
Yes.
They have all those barrels going down there. That's amazing.
Is amazing.
Wow. And they do
and those
tours.
Things are probably, 150 years old.
Oh, wow. That's
amazing. You know, I mean, because they were put there, way back when they first opened.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's just it's a neat looking area. Definitely worth a visit. So let me see if anybody's on doing Twitter stuff. No, okay, good. But I was also putting the tweets out there because I have a bunch of people following who are in the wine industry, I guess now. So that was interesting.
Oh.
Very cool. It's almost like we could have another show with them on there, you know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, we are not going to leave the Hudson River Valley because we have another speaker from the Hudson River Valley next week.
Okay.
So we're going to stay in the Hudson River Valley one more week. I found a site here. I have to share this with you. I thought we were going to do Long Island, Hudson River Valley, maybe Niagara and Finger Lakes and do those four areas on Hudson. I found this site here. These are the regions, the wine-growing regions of New York. You have Central New York. You have Finger Lakes, Greater Adirondacks. And
Adirondacks.
Thank you. Adirondacks. I'll let you say it every time I need to say it. Greater.
There you go.
Hudson River Valley, Lake Champlain, Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, Long Island, North Fork, and the Hamptons, which we covered, New York City, Niagara Escarpment, and Greater Niagara Area, and then other western counties. These are all regions of grape growing regions in New York.
Amazing.
More than I expected or thought there would be. I mean, really, really a lot of many areas there. So we've got more weeks, it looks like, to spend on New York.
It's almost going to be like another California segment series. We ran
and
in California.
And if we keep getting the good speakers like we're doing now, it's going to be a great series here in New York.
Yeah, I missed the tail end of Sue, but I'll go back on the archives and listen to that because I was on hold trying to get Caesar on. But
I had problems.
That was really cool talking to Sue as well with Brookview Station, and I like the train theme also.
She continues that to everything.
Whistle Stop White and All Aboard Red. I thought those and the others. I thought those pretty cool. So. Really, really neat show tonight. So
it was.
Next
it was
week the, again, we'll do we'll do Hudson and
Hudson River Valley again, and
see what happens.
We'll see what we're going to do next year. There's lots of them to go to, so we'll see what we're going to pop in next year.
Yeah,
so very
definitely.
Good.
Very good. Let's see. So we have. I guess we can go ahead and close down the show at 8. So about 8:18, 8:20, somewhere around there. Okay. I know we're still probably 9 seconds off. So anyway, I guess we'll thank our listeners here, and hopefully they'll join us again next week as we continue this very cool program on New York. I'm shocked that I didn't think it was going to be like you said, we're just going to talk about a few things and then maybe spend 3 or 4 weeks maybe, but it looks like it's going to go beyond that. So
it does, and it's interesting too. I mean, it's not like we're just It's been some very interesting calls we've got here.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's see. You don't have any events going on?
Yes, we do, this weekend.
What do you have this weekend?
Not this weekend. That's next weekend.
Mm.
Wow.
Okay, that's what it is.
Next weekend. Nothing this weekend. That doesn't mean you can't come out if you're in the area, but nothing this weekend.
That's true. They're still open, folks.
We are still open.
Because the next the wine class, the date for that was to be announced, so I haven't I didn't get anything after that on the newsletter. So Wine Fest was last week, so it'll be coming up, so we'll have a show between then
out there who's listening to this live or on archives, join us on our Facebook page, All About Wine BTR on Facebook. We need people on Facebook, and that way we can have our own address. So All About Wine BTR, Facebook. We want to see the numbers jump up on that a little bit here. So
yeah, and if you do a Google search for All About Wine BTR Facebook, you'll see a link. I think it's at the top of the page. So you'll see All About Wine BTR Facebook, and you can connect to us if you can't find us directly on Facebook. But you can probably do a search at the top of Facebook once you're on there and find the page. But Google it, All About Wine BTR Facebook, and it'll come up at the top. So at least that's what it's been on mine. Actually, it's a couple of them. We got the first four links on there. So and what else is it on your? Okay, I'm seeing something else here. I saw a reference to. Maybe that's Florida State's Winery Shopping Retail. Okay, that's what I saw another link on there from. It must be your other page, or something else. Okay.
Why we also have an event come up, and while we've got a couple of minutes, let me talk about this too. We have an event coming up on the 20th of this month, August 20th. It's $15 for a ticket. What you're going to get is a tasting from this. You also get a souvenir, a hand painted glass. But the event is for American Cancer Society. It's a group of women locally who are putting on this event. They're doing auctions, a silent auction, different things to raise money for breast cancer research for the local counties around here, for like three or four of the local counties. It will be live music. There will be vendors. The vendors will be donating some proceeds. The wineries donating some proceeds. Everything is going for local breast cancer research and breast cancer programs in the local counties here. So if you're in the area, that is August the 20th. That's a Saturday. That is from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the evening. So it's not going to be real hot. And I'm sorry. My engineer in the background is talking to me. And I didn't hear. What's that? Yeah, okay. Pasco Scherf will be there speaking. We will have vendors. We'll have a band. There's all sorts of good stuff going on. So if anybody's in there, if anybody's local, here's this. August the 20th. Mark your calendars. So good talk.
Put that down. Very cool. And for directions and everything, I'll let you know the address. It's 25241 State Road 52, 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Zip is 34639. So if you have a GPS or something, it should take you there. That'll be 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on exit 285. That's State Road 52. Exit 285 off of Interstate 75. Go west about 4 miles. And you'll see some signs, and there's a little road that you go up north from State Road 52. Or you're just east of the, a little ways from the Suncoast Parkway and a few miles from US 19. So you'll go US 19 and east on 52 until you get to
21
the winery.
Miles.
21 miles. That's, I wrote that down on one of the other ones. And
21
you're, what,
miles
10,
from 19.
10 and a half from Suncoast? Is that what that's? I wrote 10 and a half somewhere.
Yeah, 10 and a half from Suncoast. 21 miles from 19.
All right, not bad at all. For more information, directions, and you want to speak to the great folks over there at Florida State's Winery, it's 813-996-2113. That's 996-2113. You can email, there's corp@flewn.com, corp@flewn.com. That's for Florida State's Winery. Or visit the winery on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. And let's see. Or if you'd like to comment on the show, anything you've heard in the past or you'd like to hear in the future relating to wine, if you're in the industry and you want to be a guest, if you're a listener and you have a question or something or comments, feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Ron gets those emails, and you can email them at allaboutwine101@gmail.com, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. So be sure to let us know, give us some feedback, or you can, I think you can also comment here on Blog Talk Radio, but anyway, or absolutely join us on Facebook, All About Wine BTR on Facebook. Love to hear you and love to get you to like the page there. So we'll see you everybody next Thursday, which will be August something.
10th, I
August
believe.
The,
11th? 11th. 11th,
yeah.
Okay. August 7th. And we want to thank Sue and Caesar again for coming on tonight.
Absolutely.
Great program.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Thanks to both of you for being on the program, and we'd love to see them in person one these days.
yeah, definitely. All these areas. I mean, I can just start traveling now and visit all these different areas.
I know.
I'm getting so excited about some of these areas.
It's so tempting.
Yes, it is. Only I was independently wealthy. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. What's the lotto up to? If you've recently won the lottery, be sure to let us know that also.
Yes. Yeah. By all means. Yeah. If you need a companion to explain wine to you, we will. Yeah. We are
there. You go.
Yeah.
That's there. You go. That's a good possibility there. Huh. All right. We'll see everybody next week, August the 11th, right here, 7 p.m. Eastern time. On blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine on the All About Wine show, which normally runs an hour, but we're obviously over tonight for good reason. And we'll see everybody. Thank you all for listening to us live or on the archives, and we hope to hear from you or that you listen to us next week. Y'all have a great week and a good
everyone,
night.
Everyone have a good week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think I took...
Okay, now. Now are you there? Well, what happened to you? Huh. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm trying to get. I'm seeing the yellow thing light up, but